You're listening to SBS News.
Daniel Malbasa grew up in Australia at a financial, economic and linguistic disadvantage. He fled from conflict in what is now known as the Czech Republic when he was just 13 years old, arriving in Australia when his family did not speak a word of English and had little money to their name. Feeling restricted by the poor postcode he lived in Adelaide's northern suburbs, Daniel felt unsupported and overlooked.
I knew that the cards were stacked against me and I'll have to work 4 times or 5 times harder than the kid across the road just to be the exception. So I think, you have to have a lot of self-belief to be able to overcome these entrenched social disadvantages.
Today, 17.7% of Australian children under the age of 15 are living in poverty. The Disrupting Disadvantage Report, produced by the Committee for Economic Development of Australia, finds the country needs to change how it identifies and supports people in disadvantage to prevent up to 500,000 Australian children from experiencing poverty in the next decade. CEDA Chief Economist Jared Ball told SBS News that those who experienced poverty in childhood were over 3 times more likely to experience it in adulthood.
One of the really difficult things is that we know that early interventions tend to be the most effective. But of course, people slip through the cracks. We don't make the right interventions earlier enough. And what we end up with is we end up with people cycling through the justice system and other really narrow and intense kind of parts of the system that simply don't rehabilitate or bring about better outcomes.
1 in 3 kids growing up in disadvantaged households will have some sort of development disadvantage at school start time. Wendy Fields is the head of policy and programs at the Smith Family, a children's charity which helps disadvantaged Australians gain access to education opportunities.
By the time disadvantaged young people get to age 15, they can be up to 3 years behind their more advantaged peers in schooling. And that has obvious implications then for their capacity to achieve year 12. And if you don't achieve year 12 as a minimum, your employment opportunities are much more limited, and that impacts then on your longer term life outcomes, and that then kind of regenerates a cycle of disadvantage.
Ms. Field says there are inherent risk factors to experiencing poverty, although they are not determinants.
20% of the children and families that we support are of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander background. We have really high incidence of children with parents with a health or disability issue. Households where there's no adult in the household who's working, single parents, and parents who have not achieved above year 11, so haven't achieved year 12 or beyond.
Mr. Ball says the report identifies much greater economic difficulties within marginalised communities.
People in these communities sometimes slip through the cracks because they're not interacting with the system in other areas. They're not seeing a GP or being referred on by another service, and they may be difficult to engage. So part of what we want to see is a more proactive approach to engaging with people who are not currently in receipt of services or support, and trying to provide some of that service and support as early as possible to help these people.
For Daniel, university was never offered as an option for children living in his disadvantaged neighbourhood.
Poverty in Australia is not just a monetary sense, it's also lack of networks, lack of people to open doors for you. I didn't go to a private school, but there was, the old boys club that could sort of help you facilitate connections through life. You really have to find those connections yourself. And if you don't, you fall through the cracks and you just you don't succeed. So that's the reality of poverty in this country, is that we pretend that it doesn't exist, but it does.
The report suggests a data-driven approach to financing disadvantaged communities will help gather information on particular populations to address their specific needs. Mr. Ball says Australia's systems to support impoverished families are fragmented and uninformed.
It's really about getting better information on what's happening locally. One of the bits of feedback that we get regularly from different groups is that they don't understand the level of need or the services that are going to be the best for particular local populations.
In 2015, as part of the country's commitment to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, Australia committed to halving the number of its citizens living in poverty by 2030. In 2021, the proportion of Australians living in poverty remains above 13%, including nearly 750,000 children. Daniel says fundamental change would come from the government investing back into schools, offering mentorship, and eliminating the stigma of poor children not being able to achieve economic and educational goals.
It's really difficult for us, working class people, to be able to explain our struggles and what we've gone through and what is required. And I think we need to be at the center of these discussions, not people that are going to be, you know, punching us down. We've been punched down enough. We need to be punched up.
Brooke Young, SBS News.